thank you. It's really good being with you. It's nice to see all of you, even though we're late. Started in plenty of time, just long getting here. Now, let me just, without any introduction, I'm going to talk on inerrancy for four times, and I'm going to give you some thoughts each time to consider. Let me make some statements. Our only hope for a life with godly direction, truth, and prophecy is the Bible. Our only hope. Our only hope for knowing the living God is the Bible. No other way you can do it. Now, our words and our understanding of those words make or break us with God in the rules of debate. He who frames the argument and defines the word is the winner. Upon reflection, we must let God be the definer and the framer of the questions in life. We got to let God define that. If we want to seek what the issues of life are, we go to the Bible. We don't have to dream them up. What we want to know about life is there. Today, we are giving away the positions of the Bible to social norms. Illustrations. Role of women. Society is corrupting the role of women significantly. Homosexuality. Our leaders are lying to us. Divorce. Abortion. Society is telling us a bunch of lies, and I suggest we're trying to accommodate it. There are at least four positions we can take on the Bible. I will only mention two of them. The first one is the quasi-infallible. The word infallible means that the word is immune from fallacy or liability to error in expounding matters of the faith or morals by virtue of the promise made by Christ in the church. So it says what you read is accurate and from Jesus. But over the years, the Christian community has concluded that the Bible may have errors in the non-essentials. For instance, the flood, the creation, parting of the sea. This is quasi-infallible. They're just things we just don't think. We today are making the argument that homosexuality just wasn't understood by the Bible. We're trying to accommodate something that God warns us against. And I say to myself, where are the leaders standing up on this issue? It's in the Bible. But they say the Bible is wrong. This is very true in the life and the identity of women. And now we say the Bible's view on social matters are in question. For instance, fornication. It's very commonly accepted, women living with men before they get married. It's accepted, homosexuality, and our integrity. We say we get to determine what is true in the non-essentials. It is my view this is the concept where Christianity is today. We are basically quasi-infallible. Let me give you some history. In the 1800s, England was a leading evangelical Christian bastion. All worldwide missionary work came out of England. When Darwin published his book, the whole of Christendom in England came unwound over 50 years. Now, England has never recovered. And you got to ask yourself, why? I really encourage you to do a study on it historically. It just flat came unwound. If you've ever traveled to England, you will see a lot of incredibly gorgeous, huge churches which are empty. Today, the home of Christian missionary work was there in London, not anymore. Gone. I have good buddies in England, did business for years in there. They're not interested in knowing about God. Where did it all go? In 50 short years, it disappeared. Now, look at now, we have compromised on so many areas in our life. If you take the Bible as a single unit, and we must, it stands or falls on its weakest link. however you want to argue, whatever you think the weakest is, like one of them today, I'm looking at Larry, we go to the same church, etc. One of the issues is, can I fear God? Jim, I didn't see you. Dad said the same thing about you. But can I fear God? If I want to disband that, why don't I disband everything in the scriptures? What's going to stop me? Now the second, okay, if you're about a single unit, it stands or falls on the weakest link. If any piece is fallible, then all is fallible. Would you agree with that argument? One piece is out of whack, the whole kibosh is out of whack. Because once I determine a piece is out of whack, I determined it. God didn't. The second position is to embrace the Bible is inerrant. To the inerrant says without error. Anywhere it is to be studied and applied only. Now we spend a lot of time in our seminaries gyrating about, but basically what you're to do is study the Word, find out what it tells you, and do it. If I determine the Bible has errors, how do I know I can trust Jesus? Once I accept some parts of the and reject other parts, I declare myself the author of this book and not God. I do not think you can be a Christian and believe the Bible has error. Without Bible, the Bible, all I have are to guide my life are opinions and cultural norms. God's perspective on how we are to live our life is found in the Bible only. The drifting today of social norms as the standards, head covering, divorce, my children marrying non-believers, integrity, and the like are just another way to say the Bible is errant. If I choose to disobey some of the Bible, I fundamentally condemn the whole Bible as an error. My position as a child of God is to accept that what is being said in the Bible is from God. That is, if I believe it is the Word of God. Therefore, I'm responsible only to embrace it, study it, and obey it. We're very fortunate we have the Word of God. We can totally dispel it. Section 2. I trust and believe in the inerrancy of the Bible because of my faith in the truth about Jesus and the sovereignty of God. Not because of scientific or historical evidence. I cannot prove to you the Bible is inerrant, nor can you prove to me scientifically that it is. I've tried and read many who have tried to arrive at the inerrancy position logically and scientifically, but I've not found one that can prove the Bible is the Word of God. My position is by faith alone. When I first came to Christ, I visited a surrogate father of mine who I thought was Mr. Wonderful in the Bible. He and I must have argued an hour on the issue of the inerrancy of the Bible. He was clearly a quasi-infallible. He said, you just can't believe it all. Well, my problem is if you don't believe it all, you can't believe any of it. Note, my position on this question is an act of my faith. My concept of inerrancy was made by me before I investigated the Bible. I did not read the Word and look for evidences that it was inerrant. I decided it was inerrant and read the Bible from that viewpoint. I didn't let the Bible try to prove to me it was inerrant because it can't. I had just to believe it was and read it accordingly. Note, my commitment preceded the proof. This is the definition of faith. My commitment went ahead of the evidence. After 44 years of walking with God, the evidence of life assures me of my position. Note two, these words are just spoken to you by a man who has a scientific bent. I have a degree in electrical engineering. I read a great deal, and I'm not an extremist. I am scientifically bent. Note 3, the study of what Jesus said about the Bible reveals that he believed it was inerrant. Jesus, and I'll be glad for you to take me on about that, but Jesus believes the Bible is inerrant. The greatest testimony to the authenticity of the Bible as God's inspired and inerrant word is the Lord Jesus. To say that the Bible is errant is to call Jesus a liar. Christ taught about the inspiration of the Old Testament and taught as if it was true. He spoke of the Old Testament in terms of actual history. He spoke of Adam and Eve, Moses, Jonah, and his experience in the belly of a great fish as a historical event. He also verified the events of the flood in Noah's day along with the ark. He verified God's destruction of Sodom and the historicity of Lot and his wife. Jesus verified the authority and truth of the Bible. So if you get slippish and slide sideways on the Bible, you basically condemn, you've countered Jesus. Think on Jonah and the whale. If the Bible is inerrant, then the question is not, did Jonah spend 3 nights in the belly of the whale? Jesus confirmed that. The question is, we must ask, so what? So investigating a Bible study is quit trying to find error in it and trying to look at the truth. If I declare the Bible is not inerrant, Jesus cannot be my Savior, for he is a liar. To doubt the Bible is to doubt Christ. If you believe the Bible is errant, Christ is a fake, and you have no reason to believe the cross is true. Now, I don't know where that leaves you. I don't think you can be a Christian and not embrace inerrancy. It's a very serious subject and one you must pay attention to. Let me tell you a question I ask about the Bible. What the Bible is teaching me about my conduct in life and in business is impractical and will make me a poor man of me and ruin me in society. That was my conclusion. As a young man, I wanted to get ahead with worldly ambition and lust and greed, all the basic ingredients of good life. After much thought, 7 years after I turned to God, I followed the Bible principles anyway, and to me at a perceived high risk. Now that I am 77, I'm glad I chose and stayed the course and followed God's teaching and priorities in his word. I'm glad for my life, and in review, the commitment decision scares me what it would have been like if I hadn't made that decision. Let me give you some examples of hard decisions. The Bible tells me to hate my mother and father and at the same time honor them. Now, some of you, your parents are already dead, and so you don't know that you got to honor your parents. Let me say to you, you got to train your children how to honor your parents because they don't know how. There's nothing out there reinforcing that. The Bible tells you to honor your parents. The Bible tells you that you're to not let them dominate your life. The Bible tells me if my hand offends me, cut it off and gouge out your eye. I would have been a one-handed blind man by now. It tells me to love my enemy. Those are hard things to do. And after all my years, I have enemies. Leave all you have and follow me. Go for eternal rewards that I cannot see and not temporary rewards that I can see. That's a tough trade-off. Be a servant to all. Suffering is part of the deal with God. He not only allows it, he initiates it. You're being taught today that God allows bad things to happen to you. The Bible teaches he initiates it. God is more concerned with my preparation for heaven than he is for my life here on earth. He's trying to get me ready to be in heaven. I don't take the Bible just to try to become a better man. It's my preparation for heaven. The question was, would the Bible teachings work in the world, or are they good only for church and Sunday? Is the Bible relevant? Could and would I bet my life on it? There was a phase about 15 years ago that came out that said, is the church relevant? I don't know that it is or isn't. Maybe in the way you see it today, it may or may not be. But I know one thing that is relevant, and that's the teaching in the Bible. Could and would I bet my life on it? We will all come to the crossroad and have to take a stand. Remember, the Bible is to help prepare you for heaven, not just make you a better man. Don't ever forget that. A friend of mine said to me recently that he thought most Christians believed in inerrancy. I want to say to you, I totally disagree with that. With the Christian body disregard for obedience on things like divorce, fornication, women leadership in the church, women's head covering, and on and on and on, I conclude we think the Bible is mostly right, but doesn't fit culture and needs to be modified. This is a dangerous, dangerous ground. To disobey is to declare the word or command is not true or good, and that is wrong. I think you need to make a list of all the things that you cannot believe in the Bible and get in the altar, go to the altar, and get him to clear it up with you. The Bible is the word of God, and it's the only hope you have.